Supposed to have words, but
it was a, you know, we're going back in time, a little bit of silent film. It's going to be all good. It's great. Hi, everybody. My name is Stephanie Schleyer. I'm the Director of Family Ministry, and I'm so happy to be here and for all of you guys to be here with us. Before we get started, I wanted to give you a little bit about what's been happening behind the scenes the last couple days. Now, some of you know that Tom Egham was scheduled to speak today, and he is not here, as you can see. Tom has been a really good friend to New Hope Church, and he's the founder of Hope for Kids International. And on his way home from a mission trip in Guatemala, he got pretty sick, so he was not able to join us today. But what's going to happen? What was going to happen was Jenny was going to interview Tom. So now I'm sitting in Jenny's seat, and Jenny is sitting in Tom's seat.
Surprise!
So it's going to be great. It's going to be great, okay? Now, because I lost my place, here we go. I'm going to be okay. I'm excited to interview Jenny because I really want you guys to get to know her story a little bit better. It's really amazing. But before we get started with any of this, let's pray for Tom, okay? God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you are so good. Thank you so much for Tom and what he brings to your kingdom, how he follows after you, how he takes the risks, and he listens and goes the way, seeks after the things that are important to you, Lord. Thank you so much for him and his ministry. And I just want to pray for him right now that you bring him complete healing and so that he can continue to do your work. And I pray for Jenny and I this morning as we go through this interview and the message that we bring, that you would just speak to our hearts and help us to say the things that you want us to say today. And I pray for those in the audience that they would hear the things that you want them to know. It's in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so something I wanted to point out is that, you know, Tom got sick doing exactly what this series is all about. He was being a difference maker, right? And Tom has done some pretty incredible things, but God brought someone else into this chair who can speak about being a difference maker in a completely different way. And I see God's fingerprints all over how this whole thing came about for today. So, full disclosure, Jenny Herzog is my sister-in-law. Okay? Yes. Okay? And she has been a member of New Hope since the second service at Garfield Elementary in 1992. That's pretty amazing. She was just a kid, just a baby way back then. Right. Okay. She's the one who brought me to New Hope. And for the last 16 years, I've watched her say yes to God in ways that most of us only like think about or read about. And she's been to Uganda 14 times with Hope for Kids International, and she actually just started working there, so that's pretty exciting. And through her work with them and the generosity of people like you, 463 families from New Hope Church have sponsored children, and 40 wells have been funded in Uganda, right? Along with lots of other things that we're going to get into today. But here's the thing that I want you to know about Jenny. She did not start out as what you might think of as a typical missionary, okay? She started as an ordinary woman who said one ordinary yes. So today, we're kicking off the series Difference Maker by hearing her story behind that yes. So Jenny, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So excited. So excited that she is here. All right, so my first question for you is, I know a lot of people know who you are. Like, you know a lot of people. You're you know, talk a lot, and it's great, and we love that. We love that. You're not afraid to talk to people. You make friends. You make friends easily. That's what I'm trying to say. She makes friends real easy. But I think a lot of people in here may not know how your journey started. So before Uganda, before the Wells, before all the sponsored children, take us back to the Jenny who existed before all this happened. What was your life like?
Boring. Typical, predictable, comfortable. I would say, you know, I had two young boys. Mm-hmm. I was enjoying my job working at Freddie Mac, and I was very involved at New Hope, but I just kept sensing that I wanted to have a bigger purpose, and I wasn't sure what that was.
Okay, so I know that you went to New Hope's Women's Conference, mm-hmm. and one verse, there was a verse that really stood out to you, Psalm 37. Mm-hmm. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that's such a great verse. Why did that verse hit you so hard at that time? What was the desire of your heart that surfaced from that conference and everything that
happened? Well, I guess it was the first time I just really took the time to think about it. Like, what do I want my life to be about? And mm-hmm. it sounds really cheesy, but I just wanted to make a difference. I wanted to leave a legacy. And unfortunately, I had no idea what that looked like. And so mm-hmm. I decided, okay, well, I know the one that has all the answers, so I'm just going to pray. And so every day after that conference, I just asked God, Father, show me where I can make a difference.
That's a great place to start with prayer when you're kind of feeling like I want to do something more, I want to do something different in my life, to start
out
with prayer. Yes. and we're going to see how yeah. that was pretty scary for you. So you start praying, God, show me how I can make a difference. And God's answer is Africa. Mm. Right? Yes. So walk us through that, because I know that wasn't exactly what you were hoping that he would say. Because I want everybody to hear what it sounds like when you pray to God and he gives you an answer that's different than what you're expecting.
Yeah, it was not what I was expecting. Mm-mm. But God just started bringing all these people into my life from Africa. And at first I just, you know, kind of chalked it up like, oh, this is a coincidence. Mm. And I tried really hard to resist. And there was even a point where I was arguing with God, like, you got the wrong girl. I am not the right one. And as you can probably guess, arguing with God doesn't work very well, because in the end, it's like I knew he had put this in front of me. So after a couple of months of just denying those promptings, I finally just was feeling so restless. I was like, okay, I'm just going to investigate this. I'm not going to take any steps, but I'm just going to look into it.
Right, so I know that you finally decided to Google short-term mission trips, because just a short thing, right, just a small thing. And within an hour, a woman from Hope for Kids International gave you a phone call. So yeah. Tell us about that call.
Yeah, this lady, Angie, called me from Hope for Kids, and turns out now she's the head of the organization. But I proceeded to list everything I was afraid of. And so I had bugs, roughing it, getting sick, getting kidnapped, eating food I didn't like. This is a big one. What if I didn't have access to Wi-Fi? Like, these were seriously my concerns. Yeah. And she was so gentle and patient, and she just walked me through all that. And she said, Jenny, you're going to be safe. We stay in a modest hotel. And so at the end of the phone call, she said, you know, our motto is be a difference maker. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Because that was literally what I had been praying.
Right.
Help me make a difference. And so I knew I was at a crossroads. Like, I could either stay comfortable mm-hmm. or I could obey God. And so I hung up the phone and I told my husband, I think I'm supposed to go to Africa. And he just looked at me like, you're crazy. And he started laughing, justifiably. He said, Jenny, you've never even been to a movie by yourself. And you're going to go to Uganda? And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's really not on my bucket list, but I think God's got bigger plans for me.
Yeah. I love that story so much, because I know how much you really didn't want to go to Africa. Like, I have in my mind a time when we were just taking a walk and we were talking about things that God was, you know, doing in our lives. And I remember you talking about, I want to do something different. I want to make a difference. And I, you know, I don't know what God's going to say, but I really hope I don't have to go to Africa. So I just think that's so funny. That just really cracks me up.
It is funny.
I wonder too, just how, you know, God was teaching you something in that minute when Angie was talking you through your fears and your discomforts and things. Have you been able to use that now when you're talking to people trying to, like, they're trying to decide if they're going to go on a mission trip or something?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, once I took that first trip, I started taking teams to Uganda from New Hope, and people would come to me like the last minute and say, I don't think I can do this. And I'm like, you can, because I did it. And I right. know you can. So yeah, I definitely right. feel like I can add some credibility there.
I love that, how God used that, how God used your fear to help others in the future as well. So that's pretty cool to see that whole thing working around. So another thing is money. Right? When you go on a mission trip, it costs a lot of money. And it costs $4,000 for you on this first trip to go. And I imagine that, you know, like many people, you didn't have just an extra $4,000 sitting around just like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this money. So how did you handle that challenge?
Yeah, so we definitely did not have the $4,000 laying around. And I was really anxious and embarrassed about asking people for help. But I remember my brother, your husband, said, Jenny, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. I'm like, oh, that's so true, and that's so wise. And I'm like, okay, I got to keep that in mind. So I decided, okay, I'm going to trust. I'm going to take this leap of faith. So I sent out letters to all my friends and family. And then I found out that my employer at the time had a matching gift program. And so I thought, well, if I could get Hope for Kids approved, then my coworkers could get their match, you know, their donations matched and double it. And so I applied for it, and twice it was rejected. And I just felt in my spirit that God was saying, I want you to fight this battle. And so I did. I, you know, asked people to pray about it. I appealed it. And finally, after like months, they said, okay, Hope for Kids is approved. And so that was just kind of one of the first lessons that God showed me, that, you know, I felt like we moved a mountain together, you know, and it was just increasing my faith and just helping me to realize that he was in it. And then we started getting all the checks in the mail. And I just remember my family, we were so excited when we'd get the mail and we'd see God's faithfulness. And in the end, we got over 100 checks. And instead of just the $4,000, we ended up raising $18,000. Yeah. Now, if that's not God, I don't know what is, because that is exceedingly abundantly way more than I could have imagined.
Yeah.
And one of the blessings from that was I was able to use the extra money to fund a well. And so that transformed thousands of lives. And before I even left the U.S., my prayer was already being met.
Yeah. So. Wow. That's pretty, that's amazing to hear how that worked out for you. And again, how God not only was showing you his faithfulness in, you don't need to worry about the money, that whole David, it's God's will, it's God's bill. It's he uses that on me too.
I bet.
Yeah. But it was so great to see how God was working in the very beginning for you and teaching you something, because now, I mean, nobody really likes asking anybody for money. Like, that's, it feels a little uncomfortable, but now you don't have any problems.
No, I have no shame.
Yeah, hand Watch it over, out. Let's go. That's right, look out. Okay, so you finally arrive on that first trip in Uganda in 2010, and you know, you've had a lot of fears, a lot of anxiety about the whole trip. What surprised you the most when you got there?
Yeah, I was a nervous wreck, and I remember leaving like my prayer request, and it was like a booklet, because I just had so many things I was worried about. But when I got to Africa, it's just like all of that just melted away, and I realized that most of those fears were just silly and self-centered. You know, it was all about my comfort. And, you know, I did have uncomfortable moments there. I had cold showers. I had no electricity. I ate way too much starchy food, but I just reminded myself, this is not a vacation, this is a mission trip, you know? And so I felt like everything just evaporated and I could focus on why I was really there. And so when I first started meeting the people, it was just amazing. They're so full of joy and so full of faith, and their generosity just blew me away. I like to tell the story of, you know, that first trip, I went to a school and I was handing out sweeties, which are dum-dum lollipops, if you don't know. And I remember seeing this little boy on the side, and he was breaking his on the ground. And I was like, what's he doing? And he had little tiny pieces, and he was handing them out to his friends. And I realized that he didn't think I had enough for everyone. Mm. And his first instinct was to share. And so that was just so humbling and inspiring to me. I honestly thought I would be in tears most of the trip, you know, because I knew it was going to be hard seeing that kind of poverty. Yeah. And it was. I mean, the people literally have the clothes on their back. And for some kids, that means a party dress or a bathrobe, like whatever their outfit is that they have, that's their only clothes, you know. Mm. They don't know where their next meal's coming from. And a lot of them have seen more sickness and death than we can even imagine. Yeah. But what I saw was not sadness. They had this day-to-day dependence on God, mm. and they had this indescribable joy. And I just thought, wow, I want to be like them, mm-hmm. you know? And at the end of the day, I would get back to the hotel and my cheeks would hurt from smiling so much, yeah. you know, because it was just so great to be around them. And I quickly realized that even though they didn't have the material things, mm-hmm. they had what mattered.
Yeah. Well, I love the story about the lollipops. That I remember that story from the beginning, mm-hmm. and it's always stuck with me. But, and you talked a little bit about this, but how did all of that, those experiences, how did that change and build your relationship with God and your faith?
Well, I feel like everything was kind of stripped away. And then I was kind of in the same place as the Ugandans, and I had to really depend on God. Mm. And I felt him closer than ever. And for the first time, I felt like I was really in the center of his will. It was just energizing and fulfilling, and I just loved being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and serve other people and partner with him in that. And I could look back and clearly see his fingerprints in my journey ever since that women's retreat. You know, mm-hmm. he was leading me to, you know, this beautiful place, and that one yes really changed mm-hmm. my life. It wasn't just one trip.
Yeah.
It changed everything for me. It created this ripple effect that I never could have imagined. Mm-hmm. I came home, and like you said, I like to talk, so I shared like all my experiences and tried to invite people to come alongside and be a part of something bigger, and the response was just really overwhelming, and the joy was overwhelming, you know. Mm-hmm. Like you said, all the people from New Hope that got involved, it is such a blessing. And I was thinking about this morning when we were worshiping, you know, we get to worship when we go to Uganda and we go to their church, and their services are about 4 hours long typically. And so they say, oh, we know that the Mzungus like it short. Mzungu is their name for us. That really means white with cash. So they say Mzungus want the brief message, you know. And so we show up and we literally were doing stretches before the service because it's like a Zumba class. You know, their dances are half an hour, you know, long. And I just remember sitting there watching these people dancing with everything in them and then laying on the ground face first praying. And then the part that kills me is they bring their little coins and their vegetables up to the offering. And it's just all out worship. And I remember just sitting there crying, and my son looked up at me. He said, Mom, why are you crying? And I said, what if I had let fear win? Mm. What if I didn't say yes? I would have missed all this.
Yeah. Wow, that's really powerful. I can't imagine what it's like to be a part of that.
I can
and to
show
witness
you after
that.
The service.
We're not going to have the abbreviated service. Okay, so you've been to Uganda 14 times now. Mm-hmm. Tell us a story about something that really had an impact on you.
Well, it's hard to pick a story because I have so many. But I think one of the things that really hit me when I was thinking about it is every year when I go back, I get to see the progress and the impact mm-hmm. of all of us coming alongside the Ugandans. And you know, I've watched people really flourish, and all they needed was just an opportunity, somebody to believe in them. And, you know, at Hope for Kids, we say it's better to give a hand up than a hand out. because we really want to empower the people there to, you know, escape that cycle of poverty. And in return, they're so grateful and committed to, you know, making the most of it. And I wanted to share a statistic I recently learned that just breaks my heart. It's each year, approximately 700,000 young Ugandans enter the workforce. Only about 90,000 jobs are available.
So
that means 85% of graduates are left without employment. Just imagine if you're a young person and you have the capability and you have the ambition, but you have no clear way forward.
Yeah.
It's just heartbreaking. And, you know, sponsoring a child gives them a chance to get an education, but most of the families there have a lot of kids. They might have 10 kids, and only one actually gets sponsored. So all those other ones are left to do farming, you know, and try to exist. And so one of the things that Hope for Kids did is they started a vocational program. And I love this because not every kid excels in academics, but this was an opportunity to give the young kids a trade, a hands-on skill that they could use. And so they started a construction program and a tailoring program a few years ago. And when I was there, I was talking to the staff, and I said, well, what other programs are you considering? And they said, saloon. And I'm like, you want to teach the kids to be bartenders? And they said, no, for your hair. And I was like, oh, salon, okay. So I was like, well, how much does it cost, you know, to do the salon program? And they said it would be $3,300. I said, okay, count me in. I'm going to raise the money because I want to help a group of kids have a chance to succeed. And then I think, you can see some of the pictures of these girls. When I traveled back to Uganda the next year, they surprised me, and they had this whole ribbon cutting ceremony, and the girls were just glowing with promise. Yeah. They were so excited, and it was one of the best days of my life, you know, and I got to meet all these young women that have a chance now, and they were so excited to meet me. They wanted to do my hair, and so they put this hideous wig on me. I spared you the picture because I look like Betty Boop. It was hilarious, but they were so proud. Like, they just wanted to show me what they had learned. And and then last year I got to see three of the young girls that I sponsored through the hairdressing program graduate. And you can see the girl down here in the corner, her name is Mercy. She's got a toolkit, and so when everyone graduates, they get the tools that they need to start a business the very next day. And I love that. And then they also get a turkey because it's Uganda. I don't know.
Why not?
Live turkey, yeah.
Well, I love that whole idea of giving a hand up instead of a handout, and doing these educational programs so that they are able to have a trade at the end. To me, that represents hope.
Exactly.
You know, because I can't imagine how all of those kids feel at the end of, now I don't have anywhere to go or anything to do, and it has to feel hopeless. So that's a great thing. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that story. Now, I know you've sponsored many children over the years, and they call you Mama Jenny.
Yeah.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about your kids.
Yeah, I love to brag on my kids. So I've had the privilege to sponsor 19 children. Some of them have graduated from college or vocational school. And then I have a few that are still little that are in primary school. But one of them actually got his master's degree last year in biostatistics. And now he's doing research and analytics in global health. And I'm just blown away. I don't even know what biostatistics is, but
I'm like, what is that?
They're amazing.
Have to look it up. Yeah.
And you know, their lives aren't perfect, but I see them each year and they're thriving. They love God, they're happy, and they're just so grateful to go to school.
Mm.
Every time I go to Uganda, we have what they call sponsorship day, and we get to spend the afternoon with the kids, and I love just seeing how much they've grown, not just physically, but spiritually and intellectually. And I think one of the biggest things is that they have more confidence. You know, when I first started going, they would talk really quietly, or they just kind of raise their eyebrows, and they wouldn't really talk to me. And then I'd go back the next year, and it was like a completely different kid.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just amazing. So every year I like to ask them, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And one of the young girls, Jessmail, said, I want to be a business tycoon. said, okay, that. Then. Oh, that's great. And then one of the little boys, his name's Peter, he's in the front row with the blue outfit. He was born with no arms, but amazing kid. I could talk for an hour about him. He told me this last summer that he wants to be a member of parliament. And I have no doubt, because they are just amazing. And all it took was just someone to believe in them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think about it's $39 a month to sponsor a kid. You know, oh my gosh, we spend that when we go out to eat one night.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons I'm so grateful to all the families at New Hope that have sponsored a kid, because you are giving them hope.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's amazing to see how the kids have changed from just a $39 a month donation. So that's pretty amazing. Now, looking back over your 14 trips to Uganda, what do you think has changed more, Uganda or you?
Definitely me. So once I finally surrendered and listened and obeyed and trusted God, my faith just grew significantly. And I understood that God's plans are the best plans, even if I don't understand them. Every year, I look forward to the trips, and I call it kind of a heart realignment, because I need to go back and get perspective on what really matters. Mm-hmm. And so I often say that I need Africa more than Africa needs me.
Yeah. That's so amazing to hear when you think about what it was like and the before.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a big
switch. So it's a pretty big movement of God within your life. And I'm thinking that your story is very inspiring and encouraging. And I'm thinking that probably some people out in the audience right now are feeling God tug at their heart about something. And they are maybe holding back, waiting for the perfect timing or more clarity. Is this really what you want me to do, God? Or, oh, I need more money, or I need more confidence or skill. I need something else before I say yes. What would you say to them?
Well, I love the series that Rusty just did, Kick Your Butts, because we all have excuses, right?
Yeah.
And if we listen to those, we're not going to reach our God-given potential. I have personally learned that God will probably give me something that's not comfortable when he's trying to stretch me, and it's going to cost something. But if we want an abundant life, we can't sit on the sidelines. You know, we need to boldly follow where God is leading us. I know when you watch the news, it can be overwhelming, and you start to think, I wouldn't even know where to start. The needs are so vast. Yeah. And, one thing that Pastor Andy Stanley said is, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. You know, the Bible shows us so many people that felt weak and flawed, and yet God used them. You know, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. So, God is not calling every person in here today to go to Africa.
Are you sure?
To do something like that, right? but we're talking about saying yes. So what's an ordinary yes look like?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because your yes will probably look completely different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first told people that I was going to Uganda, there was a lot of people that didn't approve. And they said, why are you going there when there's so much need here?
Mm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this was definitely not my plan. Trust me, this was God. And you know, I believe God calls each of us to do different things. And he's going to use your unique talents and gifts and experiences. It's the beauty of the body of Christ, right? Because we all have our unique callings, but they're all necessary. So, you know, you might need to do something in your neighborhood. You know, you might need to give or pray more. I'm not sure what your calling is, but I would just encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit, you know, figure out what you're passionate about, and then lean in.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there is something to that whole idea of, if you feel a little bit nervous about
it, that's probably
the one. Yeah, because God wants to grow you and stretch you some. So I know we're running out of time, but I can't miss the story about Jake.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to tell us, your son went on a trip with you, and tell us about that.
Sure. So, one of the things I love seeing when we go on trips is how people that go on the trip just get transformed. You know, it changes their heart and their life. And I especially love seeing the younger people go. And my personal opinion is that every teenager should go on a mission trip and get a little perspective check. Mm-hmm. But my son, Jake, went with me 5 times. And I remember on our first trip, we were at a school and they paraded out these little kids and they all had their little sponsorship forms and they were asking if anyone wanted to sponsor a kid. And this chubby little boy in the front with little flat cheeks. I think he's up here. Yeah, this is Isaac. Jake said, "Mom, I want to sponsor Isaac." And I was like, okay. I mean, how could you say no to that face, right? And so Jake and Isaac had a bond that grew over the years. And then a few years ago, Jake called me and he said, "Mom, how much does it cost to sponsor Isaac?" And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, I just got my first paycheck from the Army and I want to take over the payments." And my mama heart was just overflowing with pride because it's like, okay, I want to see the next generation serving God too. So that was really special.
Yeah, I love that story. I love that story about Jake. So we have a way for you guys to make a difference today right after the service at 12:15, we're hosting the Walk for Water event, and we're raising money for 2 more wells, $21,000 total, and those wells are going to go to Bezieu Health Center and Katieri Village. I'm sorry if I butchered that. So you've seen what a well does for people who don't have clean water. For the person who's deciding right now, okay, am I gonna stay? Am I gonna walk? Am I gonna make a donation? Or am I just gonna go home? What would you have to say to them?
Stay. Don't go, we need you. I have attended so many well dedications, and at each one we go and see the original water source first. Sometimes it's just a puddle or a pothole. And so we ask the people, you know, who here has been praying for clean water? And everybody raises their hand. And so what I would say to you is that you have a chance to be someone's answered prayer today. You know, whether it's praying, donating, participating in the walk, you can really make a difference. So I hope you'll do that.
Thank you. Jenny, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Sure. Father God, we thank you that you let us partner with you to make a difference in the world. What a privilege. And I just pray that anyone here that's feeling you tug on their heart, that they would have courage, that they would step out in faith, and that they would grow in their relationship as you lead them on to something even more abundant. Thank you for today. I pray for our walk and for all the people here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.